The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, send a message. Aaron will read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. You can watch us on the Twitch channel. You can listen on the app. However you're listening, thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed the first hour. If you missed it, it's available on podcastarena.com. A little sportsy, but a little sportsy and coronavirus-y, I would say.
Yeah.
So a couple of things that people want your opinion on, starting with the fights.
Oh, boy. Well, there's good and bad people on both sides of that fight.
Okay.
On the pay-per-view card, the fight before the co-main event, so the middle fight on the pay-per-view card, was Beneil Dariush and Dracar Close, which was a well-matched fight, I thought. And unfortunately, the first round was really, really boring because it was just basically one guy backpacking the other guy. And the second round, they came out swinging, and it looked like Beneil Dariush was going to be knocked out, and he, you know, Close is chasing. He's hitting him with big shots, and then Dariush hits him with a big shot, and they're going back and forth, and boom, out cold. Dracar Close is out cold. Great second round. I was like, oh boy, all right, now we're kicking into high gear here, and then we get to the strawweight title fight, which was really There's some people who are trying to say it's like the greatest fight of all time, which that's a little bit of recency bias. It's probably in the top 10 to 15, though, that I've seen, and it's 100% the best girl fight that I've seen. Women's fight that I've seen. I know it's very offensive for me to call it girl fighting. And honestly, by the time it was over, I was like, well, I have no idea who won. I scored it for Joanna. I said I thought she won, but it was one of those fights where you couldn't be mad whoever they right. said won, because it was so close and it was so great. And then you get to the main event. And by the way, Joanna's head, oh my God. I'm sure you saw it on
Twitter.
Yeah,
I saw the picture.
Oh, if you haven't, I mean,
there's some before and after photos running around.
Yeah. She does not wear damage well. And then the main event, the middleweight title fight between Israel Adesanya and Yoel Romero. And it was, Adesanya is like basically the most hyped guy right now in the UFC. They are hyping him to no end. I mean, he's the guy who's talking about beating up John Jones. I mean, this is the guy that he's 19-0 now, but they were thinking this is the future. He fights Yoel Romero, who's just this, you know, a wrecking machine. And they get in there and they just stare at each other. And it's like 3 minutes before the first strike is even thrown. It was odd. And really what it boils down to is Adesanya, he's a counterpuncher. And he wants you to make a mistake and he's going to capitalize on your mistake. And Romero's a counterpuncher for the most part, but he's also, I've seen him come forward and win fights with just pure aggression, but he didn't want to fall into that trap against a guy who's just better than him. And Adesanya didn't know what to do when he was asked to go first. So it ended up being a really boring, weird fight. I don't want to call it a bad fight because it was, I mean, there was a lot of strategy involved. It's not a fight that I would want to watch again. And I actually scored it for Romero just because when they did exchange, he was getting the better of the exchanges. Adesanya basically at the end was just like, I'm just going to leg kick him. That's going to be my only offense is leg kicks. And he landed some good leg kicks. But it was about as tough of a watch for a main event as you'll get. I mean, it was brutal, especially when the crowd was so jacked. And really, you know, if you're watching it on TV, you were so jacked watching, you know, the fight before it. Did that just put a giant needle in the balloon of that card? So it was tough to watch. And thank the MMA gods above that we are now, man, it's got to be just over a month away, 5 weeks away from Khabib Tony Ferguson. And I pray to MMA Jesus for the health of both those men up until Saturday night, and then their health be damned. But I just want to see those guys get in the cage. Everybody's wanted it. They've tried like four times, and it's something always happens. So hopefully this is finally the time. It's the fight to make in the UFC. So I'm over the Adesanya Romero fight. I'll just say that Zhang and Joanna was, we'll pretend that was the main event, and we'll just say the next big fight's Khabib Tony, and ready for that.
Basketball question for you. It says, do you see the Texas versus Tech opening round game essentially as a play-in for the NCAA tournament? They both seem to be on the bubble.
I would say it's a play-in for Texas. A play-in for Texas Tech. If Texas Tech wins, I think they're probably in. If Texas wins, they'd still have to keep winning. It could be a play out certainly for either team. I think you don't want to be the team that loses that. I don't think if you lose that game, I don't think you've got a shot. So in a way, it's like you're starting a tournament already. But I think if for Texas Tech, it would be enough to get them in. For Texas, it'd be close. They might need to win one more because that was a bad loss against Oklahoma State. All that goodwill that they built up with all those wins in a row, and then you get blown out by a crummy Oklahoma State team. That's a bad look. But the Big 12 just they're very mediocre in general, and
they just kind of eat each other too.
Yeah, when you think about, you know, at the end of the season, you're usually going to have a couple top tier teams, and you'll have some middling, and then you'll have some crummy teams. How about in conference play this year, the teams that finished better than 500 in the Big 12? Kansas, 17-1.
That's good.
Baylor, 15-3.
That's good.
That's the end of the list. Everybody else, 500 or worse. So it's a down year for the Big 12. And, you know, Oklahoma, boy, they barely survived. They were losing to TCU. They were on the bubble too, so I guess they're technically still on it. Texas Tech, all bubble teams. West Virginia, I would say, is probably safe. They're definitely safely in. You know, they just beat Baylor to finish the season, so they're going to be in. But yeah, it's just a weird year for the Big 12. No, I mean, obviously Kansas and Baylor standing out, but there's not really a middle class. It's just after that, it's all a middle class.
Right. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. Somebody asked, where's the best places for steak night on Monday night in Houston? I like East End Hardware down on my side of town. They've got a really good one with the sides are fantastic. They have like tamales and enchiladas and Mexican beans as a side to a steak. So that's one of my go-to places. That's probably my favorite one on a Monday. I don't really know who else does it on Monday, but 713-780-3776. Yeah, we'll get to the I'll get to this horse racing thing next segment because I have a couple quick thoughts on it. But most of my thoughts will be in my column on Wednesday. But it's yet another bad scandal, and it's one of those that they wouldn't have found if the FBI got involved. And once that happens, they can do these things called wiretaps.
Mm-hmm.
Better keep your damn mouth shut.
All right.
What do they teach you in every mafia movie?
Don't
talk
on the phone.
On the phone. Yeah.
So not a secure line. You call from a payphone, right?
Yeah. Well, but whoever
you come up with some code words.
Well, these guys talked on the phone.
Oh, it's just dumb. All right, you know what's not dumb? Carbach. Carbach's awesome. And the Light Circus Spring Break Concert coming back this Saturday. It's time. Explosion of light and sound for the Love Generation, guys. It's more than a show, too. Ghostland Observatory is going to serve up the music Ishii with light displays, plus delicious cold Carbach beer. A feast for the senses, I tell you. And when I say beer, they've got all their regulars on tap, but you can also get a hold of some beer at these concerts that you won't be able to get regularly. They always put something special on the wall for these concerts, and you know this one's going to be no different. Get your tickets today at CarbachBrewing.com. Light Circus Spring Break, Saturday, March 14th, only at Carbach. And get out to the restaurant, guys. Get out there, even if you're not going for the concert. They've got tons of great beer, great food. I mean, out of this world, something for everybody. And follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to keep up with everything going on at the restaurant, the brewery, and the concert series. When you're out and about this week, ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
I'm a nightmare dressed like a daydream. So it's going to be forever, or it's going to go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 8-3-2 mentioned Henderson and Kane has a good Monday night. And then El Burro and Bull, which used to be in Conservatory, is now going to be in Harrisburg. That's cool. Conservatory is moving over to where Chapman and Kirby used to be, right? Isn't that where that's going?
I think so.
Yeah. So I kind of feel like I have to address this as the horse racing guy in the city, maybe the universe. But if you haven't seen the story today, it came out, the FBI, had 84 pages worth of indictments against 27 people who allegedly schemed to illegally dope racehorses. The biggest name is a guy named Jason Service, who trains Maximum Security, who actually won the Derby and was disqualified for interference. He also just won a $20 million race in Saudi Arabia. Well, apparently they wiretapped these guys. And this, if you're a baseball fan, this should scare you a little bit. And that's kind of what the column's about Wednesday.
Okay.
Because you know where steroids started? Horse racing.
Okay.
And then human beings started using them. Well, what they've come up with here is yet a new PED that there's no test for. And so they've been using it along with some other stuff. And they got caught by the FBI. And if I'm a baseball fan, maybe we should quit talking about juice balls and start looking at what needs to be tested for, because everybody's ahead of the curve on this stuff. So this was a PED called SGF-1000, and the indictment says it's intended to promote tissue repair and increase a racehorse's stamina and endurance beyond its natural capability. And so in one of the phone calls, the trainer's telling, I've been using it on everything. And then he called a veterinarian who says they don't even have a test for it. There's no test for it in America. And then finally, one of them says, I don't want to talk about this bleep on the phone, okay? A little too late. The FBI's got you. So they've admitted to using it. And along with a lot of other stuff that's just disgusting. I mean, they use snake venom on some of these horses so that they wouldn't feel pain when they were running. And then there's another thing that one of these trainers that they caught did stuff that expands like the blood, and it caused one of their really good horses to have a heart attack. So they're endangering, because when you have a horse that is hurt and can't feel it, that's when they break down.
Right.
And that has so much, and that's what I've been trying to tell people about the Santa Anita thing. I mean, we shouldn't really be looking at the track as much as we are the guys who are running these horses every week and a half when they shouldn't be running them that much. and then filling them full of drugs so they can't feel a thing. And that's the problem. And these guys got caught, 27 of them, and they're making millions of dollars. They don't care about the snakes. I mean, I don't care about the horses. They have this thing called red acid. It masks pain so they can run through injuries. They have a thing that boosts red blood cell counts, all this stuff. And this guy would go and claim horses from other trainers, fill them full of this crap, win a whole bunch of money with them. And, you know, everybody just kind of looks like, oh, well, he's a good trainer. He just improved the horses. But there's a bunch of guys all over the country that are doing this crap, and it's time that they got caught. Because, first off, it's not fair to the horses. And the one difference I would say about horse racing and baseball player decides to take this stuff, that's his choice.
Yeah.
And a lot of people would say I'm being hypocritical about this, but I'm not. If you make that choice on your own, that's great. People should not be making these choices for these animals. That's the difference. They have no say in it. And yeah, there's a lot of bad people in this sport. Just like there's good and bad people on both sides.
Both sides.
No, there's bad people in a lot of stuff. But there are people, there are con men, there are crooks, and there's one guy who's a Hall of Fame trainer who basically would go to his rich owners and say, hey, I can get you this horse for $100,000 from this really prominent breeder. And basically, it's a $20,000 horse. He splits the difference with the breeder, gets to train the horse on top of it. If it winds up being any good, he does great. But otherwise, he's making $40,000 off a sale to one of and just ripping off his own owners. That kind of stuff has been going on. Buzzers. There's jockeys use buzzers where they shock the horse. It makes him go faster. That's been going on forever. And everybody's trying to get an edge. It's got to stop. And especially with things like this. And everybody's just going to shrug because it's horse racing. But I really think that they can, if they take a deeper look into this, they're going to catch a lot of people. And they should. Because the one group that is getting defrauded here, and I will always be an advocate for the horse player because we don't have a lot of advocates. And nobody pays any attention to the horse player. But we're getting defrauded too. I mean, that's money we've invested that basically was stolen from us. And to me, that's the two things about this that really piss me off. First off, the way they're treating the horses. That's the most important thing. But the fact that guys like me who like to bet have no recourse in this, when you've been defrauding us and other guys are defrauding us, and how about the guys who are actually trying to play on a fair playing field? You know, and so it's a really bad look, and I hope that change comes from this. But I hope these guys go to jail, and I hope they're in jail for a long time for what they did. And yes, it pisses me off because, you know, I do picks. Yeah. I've been handicapping this forever. I've been a
put yourself out there.
I do, and I cannot support people who do this in this business in any way, shape, or form. And I've seen a lot of things. I've been told a lot of things. Some of it's just BS. You know, some of them people like to talk, but some of it is true, and it's got to stop. I mean, and if it doesn't stop, if you're going to do what baseball did and get the government involved, you're going to find a real problem here. So if you're one of those guys who's out there doing that stuff, cut it out. I had a guy once tell me, a trainer once told me what he did was he would feed his horses marijuana before a race. Just enough to where it would take away the pain in their ankles and knees. Yeah. Which illegal. And boy, and he would go and get a horse, and that horse would be 5 lengths better than the guy who had it before.
Jeez.
And so this kind of stuff has been going on, and it's not everybody. I want to make that clear, but it paints everybody with the wrong brush because anybody who has some success now, you're going to look at him and go, oh, what's he doing?
Yeah.
Or she. And it's not fair. That's all I have to say about that. And somebody said Fred agrees with PETA. I don't. PETA is out to get horse racing in general. And so, no, I don't agree with them. But I do agree that these people should be punished. And anybody involved with it should be punished. And I hope they catch them. And I hope they start testing for this other crap. But how do you test for snake venom?
I don't know. That's the thing. I guess that you can make a test for anything. But how do you know to test for it?
Right. Right. Well, I guess you know now. Because apparently they caught them talking about all kinds of stuff.
Jeez.
Beyond that. So, but let this be a Two public service announcements here. Never talk on the phone. I mean, we should have learned that in every... You should learn it from Goodfellas. Because what happened to Henry Hill? He talked on the phone.
Yeah.
You don't talk on the phone. But anyway, that's what's going on. And there's a really good story about it in USA Today where Dan Wolkin does a column about it that I highly recommend if you're interested.
All right.
So, but it is animal abuse. There's no question. And that should be punished. And those of us who've been defrauded by these clowns, they should be locked away and put away forever or shot. I don't care which. Anyway, that's it. I'm done.
All right.
So 713-780-ESPN. Damn, we're already halfway through. It's going by quickly. Chase Savoy on the Twitch says, Fred, you can cut your hair on the sides. I'm going to get it cut soon, but I sort of like that I look like a 70s villain, kind of.
I said you look like Woody Harrelson in Kingpin.
Okay.
I mean, it is, or like or Wooderson in what's it called? Dazed and Confused.
Okay.
So like where it's puffy on the outside.
Yeah. 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 All right, quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. A couple things I need to respond to. 254 says, marijuana doesn't work unless it's heated. How can a guy feed a horse marijuana? Edibles, sir. It's the same thing as we do when we have edibles.
Kelly. Yeah, so if he's feeding him, you know, it doesn't mean that he's feeding him, like, just grass.
Right, right. Yeah, so. Kelly in Clear Lake. I'm not accusing you of being hypocritical by asking this. Yeah, you are. As soon as you say that, you are, but that's all right. Where do you draw the line, or is there one between the horse player, i.e. the Houston Astros? I'm not sure what your question is, but I thought I did a pretty good job of explaining the difference between human beings doing PEDs and horses. And you know, the big difference here is you have humans manipulating animals as opposed to humans trying to cheat. I mean, I have no problem with baseball players getting by with PEDs. I've said that. I've been consistent about that, and I make no bones about that.
They choose to do that.
Yeah, and you know, that's their choice. If they don't get caught, great. But when you're doing it to an animal, it's the same as if you go shoot your dog up with a whole bunch of stuff. Then, you know, that's a different thing. You're making a choice for another being, and that's where I have a problem. So if that makes me hypocritical, so be it. Lamont asks, how is minimizing a horse's pain threshold any more inhumane than a grown man riding on your back at max speed? Well, man, sometimes I wonder why I even try to explain things. If you've ever seen a racehorse, you're talking about a 1,000-pound animal with small ankles and small knees, and if they're in pain, that's the only way you can tell that they might get hurt. So if you cover that pain up, then the horse is going to look fine. He's going to act fine. And then when his leg snaps, you know, you can act like you didn't know it was coming. Because it's totally different than having the rider on their back. Because you're not just minimizing his pain threshold. You're covering up actual pain from an injury that could prove fatal.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
All right. Well, it makes sense to me, but I'm also very smart.
713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. And now Pot Guy's getting a lot of comments.
news release from Austin/Travis County. From now through May 1st, events which... Hold on, I got to sneeze.
All right. Coronavirus. Damn. Uh-oh.
The Walking Dead right now. From now through May 1st, events with 2,500 or more people are prohibited unless organizers are able to assure Austin Public Health that mitigation plans for infectious diseases are in place. Each event will be evaluated case by case. And Cedric Golden is reporting, a University of Texas spokesman told him that city rules do not apply to Texas since it's a state institution, says we're reviewing the city guidelines and mitigation plans, developing our own guidelines and mitigation plans for on-campus events. The good news for the University of Texas is that 2,500 people threshold won't apply to basketball games. So yeah. You don't have to worry about this until football season. So from now through May 1st, you're probably safe. That wasn't a joke. Have you seen the, there's literally like eight people there. It's bad.
I think that's a little overreactive. I mean, so 2,499 is okay. You won't get it from that, but 25 you will. And a couple things. First off, 936. Fred, you're either PETA or you aren't. You can't be half PETA. I'm not PETA, and because I look at everything, every issue separately. Yeah. You can either be dumb or you're not. How's that? And somebody's, I think the text about your line is in regards to why a horse better you're upset about being defrauded versus sports better being defrauded regarding the Astros sign stealing. Well, first off, if you bet on baseball, I got no sympathy for you. You know, horse racing is gambling. Without gambling, there is no horse racing, period. Baseball's still going to be there. So, yeah, if you got defrauded, I don't bet on baseball, so
yeah,
why would I care?
People will watch baseball. There's some people who watch baseball without betting on it.
Yeah.
Nobody goes to the horse track just to watch the horses run.
No. That doesn't happen as much as I love it. But you know what? If you're somebody who felt you were defrauded, then you're perfectly, you can feel that way all you want. I don't. So, because I have invested significant money in horse racing. And yeah, but to try to equate it to that, I think is silly because, frankly, yeah. Well, for one thing, I don't think it helped that much. It certainly helped. They got caught. They got punished. But I don't bet on baseball, and nor will I bet on baseball for lots of reasons. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776.
One good thing's come out of this coronavirus thing.
What's that?
St. Patrick's Day parade in Boston, canceled. You know my feelings on parades.
Yeah.
Stupid.
I'm all these cancellations, man. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's good written. Just don't have parades. Who needs parades?
Mark says, that guy says you're either Peter or not. That's such a Sith move. The world is not black and white. Well, although I will say to this day, it's also a Jedi move. Because if you remember during the big fight, when Obi-Wan says, only a Sith deals in absolutes. Okay, didn't you just do that, Obi-Wan? Just checking. So yeah.
Absolutely only a Sith.
So, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Oh, I want to read 409's text, but I can't. It's a little much, but it's hilarious. Thank you, 409. Oh, boy. I don't know how I get into these things. So, nerd rage. Yeah, now the fun texters are weighing in, and it's hilarious, but most of them I can't read, unfortunately, but you guys are funny. Well, let's move on. I've said all I'm going to say about it. You can read my column on Wednesday. There's a lot more detail.
Did you hear that the Cowboys have sent Dak a new contract proposal?
Yeah, it was supposed to be like $33 million
a season, more than $100 million guaranteed. Doesn't it feel like that's generous?
Yeah, that's more than I would pay him.
Russell Wilson's the highest paid quarterback in the league at $35 million a year, which to me That makes sense. That's he's probably who should be the highest paid quarterback in the league,
until
right?
Mahomes gets his deal.
Yeah. But, I mean, Russ is a guy who has a Super Bowl. You can still, yeah, I mean, he's clearly the best player on his team. He's clearly the reason his team is competitive. And you can see him, you can see another future bowl, in another Super Bowl in his future. So it's like, it's not like Tom Brady where it's, oh boy, this guy's, you know, on the wrong side of it, or Drew Brees. Like, it still feels like there's gas in the tank of Russell Wilson. That's the kind of guy you want to be paying that money. He makes $35 million, and they're offering you $33 million. Whew. The only guys getting paid more than $33 million, Roethlisberger makes $34 million, which I wouldn't want to have that deal, honestly.
Not at this point. No.
And I don't think I'd Aaron Rodgers makes $33.5 million. I don't know if I'd want that deal at this point. And Jared Goff makes $33.5 million. And Jared Goff feels a lot like the Dak Prescott situation, well, except Jared Goff's been your Super Bowl.
If you're Dak, though, you're looking at that going, look, I'm better than Jared Goff.
And I mean, Jared Goff took his team to a Super Bowl.
He did, but I'm looking at it from Dak's perspective. So I wouldn't pay him that. We've had this discussion. I think you know my stance on it. But I get why he's saying he should make more than that. I think 33 is more than fair. And if I'm the Cowboys, that's more than I really want to pay for the guy, especially when there's some options out there.
And if he declines that, then he would get franchised, which would be around that same money, $33 to $34 million. So he can either take that deal for multiple years, however many years they're offering there, or he can take it for 1 year. And basically, that's what it would be. The non-exclusive tag would be about $27 million, but then a team could sign Prescott to an offer sheet that the Cowboys would have an opportunity to match. And if they don't, they'd get 2 first-round picks in return.
Ooh,
I'll be honest.
I'd do that.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
That's the move to me, is I say, look, if somebody wants to pay you $33 million a year, and in return we get 2 first-round draft picks, that's a win to me.
Yeah.
That's a guy you spent a 3rd-round pick on.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's good options out there for you this year. 409 says, I'm taking my wife on her first trip to Disney in April. Hashtag come at me, Corona. 361 says, oh, man, he's been trying to get tickets to the Masters for 25 years. He finally gets them. It's Eric. What if they cancel the Masters? That would suck. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz. The Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Football fans, join John Granato and Nate Griffin as they call the game for your Houston Roughnecks this Saturday at 1 p.m. Tune in to hear them take on the New York Guardians. All right here on ESPN 97.5, your home for Houston Roughnecks football. Guardians tied for first in the East now. Not going to take much for the Necks to clinch a playoff spot at this point.
No.
They've got a 3-game lead with 5 to play.
Yeah.
So, things are looking pretty good for your Knicks.
They're looking pretty safe.
And just for those of you who are curious,
when you start 5-0 in a 10-game season.
Yeah, you're in good shape. The way the playoffs work,
I'm not great at math, but that sounds like it guarantees them at least a .500 record.
Let me see. Let me check. Carry the 0. Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
But the way the playoffs work is the second place team in each conference plays the first place team. So there's a chance your Knicks will have, I'm guessing they're going to have a home game in the playoffs. And if they win that, the championship's at Tadeku. So,
all right. So the road to the XFL championship runs through Houston.
Well, it should run through Houston, barring a complete collapse.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Sure.
And then, the East, you've got 3 teams at 3-2. And then there's your Vipers. So, all right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
the gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Bannock Jeweler gym of the day.
All right. I could almost identify with this story a little bit because, you know, sometimes we go do karaoke and somebody does a song that you don't really like. And maybe you're a little intoxicated.
Okay.
Well, this is one thing you don't do. An intoxicated man allegedly became upset with a karaoke song in a bar and attempted to go after the singer with a gun.
Oh, that seemed... There's usually rules about bringing guns into bars.
Yeah,
isn't there?
Yeah, there is, but...
not wise, guys.
34-year-old Jason Allen Huff was charged with intimidation where the defendant draws or uses a deadly weapon, which is a level 5 felony. Police responded to the report. It says in Porter. This is, I don't know where this is, though. It's not Porter, Texas. When police arrived, they pointed to a car in the parking lot where Huff and a woman were sitting. The officer drew his firearm and ordered the two to get out of the vehicle and onto the ground. The woman was holding the gun now. But apparently, he was not responding to the commands. They were able to get him into handcuffs. And he kept repeating, "Have fun, you good," to his wife. Apparently, he got so upset with the karaoke singer's song choice, he got up and attempted to go after the singer, but ended up falling down. While other patrons tried to help him up, he allegedly tried to restrain a woman by twisting her arm. Then his cousin intervened.
Twist her arm.
You know, telling everyone to get back because he...
To where you once belong. Yeah.
But,
did he start singing?
No, he just started waving around a black 9mm Glock 19.
Damn.
And yeah.
Janie's got a gun. I'm trying to think of what song would fit the situation.
No, Janie's Got a Gun would be bad.
It's in Indiana, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So yeah, Roughnecks on the station. I'll probably be doing the watch party again this week, depending on what the wife wants to do. Because, you know, we've embraced our inner neck.
Yeah.
And anyway, that was your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Although this Guardians team just came up with a really big win. So, I think you're next. Get it done. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Your Wildcats finally won a game.
I saw that.
Poor Vipers.
Yeah, the Vipers just can't do anything right.
Your Wildcats are now tied for second in the West.
It's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah. With your Dallas Renegades, who... Bob Stoops not having a very good season out there. So, but yeah, there's a three-way tie in the East between the Defenders, the Battle Hawks, and the Guardians. There's your XFL update.
Thank you.
713-780-ESPN is your number. Somebody says song for the story, Give Me Three Steps. That's a good one. Yeah. Oh, that's a real good one. So that's an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah.
The can I say something nice about some athletes?
Oh, which ones? Go ahead. I'll allow it.
Well, obviously that Nashville tornado was a bad deal. And guys, I mean, I think a lot of guys do stuff like this after a natural disaster. But Mike Vrabel and a bunch of the players and members of the organization basically went out and distributed supplies and, you know, just, you know, we're giving food and stuff to people who'd been displaced. So just a nice thing. I always like it when guys do that. And when I rip guys, I like to be fair. But if they do something nice, I think they deserve credit for it. And good on you, Mike Vrabel. I haven't always been kind to you, sir.
Yeah.
But for that one, good move. The other, I had a bunch of coronavirus stuff today. Okay, that's two, right?
Yeah.
I did see an interesting story about, you're a fantasy baseball guy, right?
I am. It's about that time.
Well, this is a fair question, I think.
I've got to find a new person for my league.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Got to drop out.
Oh. Is Matt Dean in that league?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not playing.
Yeah.
but How much do you think the Astros hitters might have an off year in the wake of all this stuff? Because it's not just that, okay, the cheating's not going to help them anymore. I think it's more like people banging trash cans and calling curveball and stuff like that. And then being asked about it all the time. I don't know. Does it affect how you look at them from a fantasy perspective?
No, but I do feel like, well, I shouldn't say no, because maybe I just feel like there's always that little bit of doubt in my mind that they're not as good as I've thought they were because they've been getting help. So, you know, not that they won't still be good, but will they be as good? Honestly, I'm getting more and more concerned about just the Astros as a team, because like now this Verlander injury and things like, all it's going to take is one serious injury to that pitching staff to really just put them back to where they were the year they won the World Series before Verlander came along.
Well, minus Keuchel.
Right.
Because you still had Keuchel at that point.
So if you, let's just say you look at Greinke as Keuchel, and so you've got one great pitcher and a bunch of guys, and then if Verlander's gone, or, you know, how different is that team really? Not much, right?
No, it's not. But hopefully Verlander won't be out for long.
And let's face it, that team would have made the playoffs without Justin Verlander.
Yeah, they just weren't winning the World Series.
So it's a matter of what your expectations are. But yeah, I only have I have two Astros on my fantasy baseball roster that are potential keepers.
Okay.
One is Kyle Tucker. And I think he's like obnoxiously expensive to keep because someone paid a bunch for him and then threw him on the trash pile. And then I picked him up.
I'm guessing you won't keep him.
I probably won't keep him. And then the other one is Miles Straw, who
it's probably like a dollar, right?
Yeah. He's a cheap guy. And I'll be honest, he sort of interests me in a Dusty Baker offense, because Dusty Baker loves speed. And apparently Josh Reddick is garbage in the spring. Kyle Tucker's been garbage. And my boy Miles Straw, 7-for-18, 3 homers. I mean, what are you going to do? Can you hold him down? No one can hold down Miles Straw. So he might make my opening day roster. I'm not sure yet.
Well, plus, hey, just pinch running, you get a few steals out of him, which is kind of hard to
get.
Sean asked, just heard 97.5 is home of the Roughnecks, but didn't hear it Saturday. Is there an alternate if it conflicts with Texas A&M?
The app.
Yeah, we do stream the games.
And the only way that'll ever happen again is if the Aggies win Thursday and Friday, which I guess is not impossible.
Now, we were talking about this off air. Your guy Buzz has done a nice job with this team over the second half of the season.
Dude, from where they were to where they are now, they've won 5 of their last 7 games. The only losses to Kentucky, which was actually a pretty competitive game.
They covered.
Yeah. And LSU did not cover. To win 5 out of 7 down the stretch, and including they won at Alabama. One at Auburn.
Right? Auburn. Yeah.
Those are tough games. And they beat Mississippi State, who was fighting for a tournament spot. They beat Arkansas, who needed that win like blood to get into the tournament. So they end up finishing 10-8 in conference. I mean, it's from where they started, that's pretty unbelievable. So kudos to Buzz. That's a guy who's got things going in the right direction. Now, he's going to lose Josh Nebo, and that's going to be pretty tough to replace. But for the most part, well, he loses Wendell Mitchell too, but it's going to be a matter of who he can get in here. But I think from a, and I know this is kind of an overused term in college sports, but from a culture perspective, they kind of got things going in the right direction.
That's a good thing.
Yep.
And it's good to see. And
the fact that this team didn't quit when they really could have easily quit on the season and no one would have faulted them. I certainly wouldn't have. For them to finish the season the way they did, and you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if they win on Thursday against Mizzou. It's there's something to be said for that. And if Buzz can start to recruit the way that he has in other places and actually get some guys who can shoot the ball, boy, they could be on to something. They still a really, really, really bad three-point shooting team.
Well, he'll get that fixed.
Yeah. If they would get out on their hoops goal and practice, maybe they'd be better, right?
Absolutely.
Pro Dunk Hoops, ProDunkHoops.com. That's where you go if you want a goal. I got one out in front of my house. And honestly, well, my big concern about putting a goal up at my house for my kids was that it would be an eyesore. And that's the beauty of Pro Dunk Hoops is these goals, these hoops goals are, they actually look great. Not they don't. It's not like a neutral. It's a positive on your home front. It looks awesome, and they've got a design to fit your home, your driveway, your backyard, whatever you need. And they're all adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet, which means my 12-year-old can go out there and shoot for a while. My 7-year-old can turn it himself, turn the crank himself, and get it down to where he can hit layups and hit shots, and he can have fun too. It's great for the whole family, guys, and it gets the kids outside, which is really great, especially spring break time. Get your new hoops goal today. See it all, ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops, 281-351-9822 for Pro Dunk Hoops.
ESPN 97.5.